Hello my friends, I'm Bianca, the Ticking Time's On, and today we have Vince in the studio to talk about his free watch collection. Welcome to the studio, Vince.
Thank you for having me here, and it's always a pleasure to talk about anything about watches.
So how did this begin for you, your hobby of watch collection?
I think we all came from collecting watches from we were little, from we were young. You know, we always started with Casios and things like that, and had a Fossil during my high school period. But I was never really a serious collector until much later. I remember it was probably about 12, 13 years ago when I actually started seriously collecting them. Mainly it's because there's a bit of a taboo thing within our industry, because my mother was actually stationed in Shanghai at the time, and she was working for a multinational company, and she was in the HR department, and she has overseas visitors come to her all the time. And at the time, counterfeit watch was very prevalent all over China and obviously around the world. Part of her job is actually to, take those guests and show them, what counterfeit watches are available there. And she will buy it for them as presents and gifts and stuff to take back. So I remember once I was visiting her in Shanghai, and she got me this watch. And I remember very vividly, it's a Tournelle-shaped Vacheron Constantin. And at the time, I had no idea what Vacheron Constantin is. So I was like, okay, this is a nice dressy watch, white dial, Roman numeral. It was only later on that I realized that Vacheron Constantin never produced this watch, but it was a mechanical watch with an automatic movement that you can see it from the back. And when she gave it to me, she told me that, oh, this is a mechanical watch. Then that's pretty much the point I started thinking that, oh, what is the difference between mechanical watch and a quartz watch? Because when I was wearing Fossil before, I always had to replace the battery. I think it also has to do a lot with what I do as a profession as well. So I'm an architect by trade. I like to put things together. So in terms of how do you have such a microscopic engine within those machines are particularly interesting to me. And it's a fascinating thing, especially when you start seeing all the gears working together. It's mind-boggling of how that someone actually invented this thing to tell time. The first serious watch that I ever bought was Fischer Constantin World Timer. So that was their first generation World Timer. And you were able to do all the changes with one single crown action. Dates, time, second time zone, and that all together from one single crown. So that was very interesting to me, how Fischer Constantin manufacture their own movement at the time and able to have this such a complication within just one crown that controls the whole thing. So that was particularly interesting to me. That kind of dug the rabbit hole for me. So I just never came out of since. My collection sort of went up and down with my preference over time, and because I have been moving around quite a bit in the past few years. So my collection tend to grow to a certain extent and reduce quite a lot. It's been like for me in the past 12, 13 years. Yeah.
So I've spoken to a few watch enthusiasts as yourself, and everyone seems to have some philosophy behind their collection, whether they like a whole set of one certain brand. What's your philosophy behind collecting?
I'm usually quite a focused person in what I do. But I'm not a very focused collector per se, mainly because if I can have all the watches in the world, I would. So I have gone into phases such as micro brands. Yep. I got into vintage watches. I got into sporty watches and so on and forth. So my collection, it's a little messy. There is really no rules I have to tick off when I'm looking at a piece. It really depends on whether that piece, when I first see it, first impression is really important and how it really resonates for me. If I feel that this is a piece I really like, it doesn't really matter what it is, or quartz movement, or make a quartz and automatic and manual, things like that. But I do have one connection that I particularly like about wristwatches is that I do really like hand-wound mechanical watches. I remember the second decent watch I purchased was Nomos Tangente. So Nomos is a German brand based in Glashütte. And what they do is that the aesthetics of the watch is very much influenced by the Bauhaus movement. So it's very minimal, very simple. And basically they have a very three-hander hand-wound movement. But I think by winding a watch really builds that connection between the person with that timepiece. And just because that you kind of have to wind it every couple of days at least, it reminds you that, you know, you are adjusting time, that it is something important that really trims down to a wristwatch to its most basic.
So you have been collecting for some time now. Was it a challenge to hone in on these three today?
Absolutely. And absolutely. I think if you ask any collector, try to trim them down to a three watch collection, it's always a difficult thing. I mean, these are the questions that has been haunting all watch collectors. Things like, what is your one watch, you know, that rules them all? Or what is your exit watch? Basically, is the watch that you buy and you never collect again. You never buy anything else. But I think, yeah, three watch collection is difficult. The three watch that I brought here today all have one single criteria, is that these are the three that will never sell. In my mind, I have a very deep sentimental value to them that will never sell.
Well, I'd love to learn a bit more about your sentimental value. Let's have a look at what you brought in today.
Sure. So the first timepiece is a Spigmarin. So it's a Spigmarin Spirit Wing Commander. So in essence, I shouldn't be liking this watch, mainly because it's a little too big for my wrist. And you can see that it has its thickness. And it's quite a big chunk of metal if you just hold it to it. The case isn't built of titanium, but overall it still feels quite hefty, even, you know, just because the sheer size of it. So at the end of the day, it's a pilot watch. I actually just received this watch last year, but before that, I have been waiting for it for quite a while. So Spigmarin, it is an independent brand. And how this started is that it's originally from a British watchmaker called Peter Spigmarin. He started his own brand in the early 2000s, started his brand and sort of tried to build that with a collection. He uses suppliers such as Valcher, Concepto, Technotime for the movement of the watch. But I believe that he has departed from his own brand back in 2017. Mainly because I think during the financial crisis back in 2009 or 2008, he has been selling his share to other stakeholders. So I think there might be differences of opinions at the end that he decided to depart from the brand. The brand still carries on nowadays, but it's from a different ownership based in Switzerland. The piece I bought here today is actually produced when Peter Spigmarin is still within the brand, his final year with his own company. I believe this piece is dated back to 2017, was released in January 2017 in SIHH. Basically, I would say this is probably his last hurrah before he departed the brand, because this was released in January, then he departed the brand somewhere in the middle of the year. And how I received this watch is actually very interesting, because I got to know this person when I was residing in Shanghai for work. I was there for a number of years, and through mutual contact and obviously enthusiast groups and things like that. So I got to know this person who was actually working for the brand, and he was the representative for the brand that basically come to meetings and shows timepiece to the collectors and, you know, what's the latest and things like that. So we got on really well and over time, and but there is no way ever I can actually afford a piece of modern-day Spigmarin, because I think they're starting from 20,000 and north, basically, from their most basic pieces. But I always really wanted it. And I knew about Peter Spigmarin since, I wouldn't say day one, but since my very beginning of collecting watches, and someone who I've always aspired and really liked the aesthetics of what he's creating. So he has this very special and very different watch case that he calls a Piccadilly case. and because obviously it's from UK, so he designed this case to be a screw from both sides and a very strong presence of the case shape with onion crown as a to formulate this overall package, and obviously using his logo as the second wheel instead of second hand. So, and that thing's really something pops out. Because I do really want the piece, and obviously through this connection, he was able to offer me an archive piece, which is the one I brought here. So this piece has been sitting in Speakmarine's archive since 2017, and he will only offer this type of thing to, you know, close friends to the brands and a real enthusiast. And I'm really, really humbled and honored to be called as an enthusiast for the brand. So he offered me this piece. And do I want it? I was like, of course I want it. So he would get it from Switzerland and he brought it back to Taiwan. And I'm a Taiwanese as well. So I flew back to Taiwan last year. And that's how we sort of got it from him. So this is a piece that I say I will never sell. And technically I could never sell as well because it is an archive piece. It's something really special to me. That's to my collection, also to our friendship. And this is a piece I probably wear the most in the past 6 months as well. And it's very comfortable on the wrist and it work, the color scheme works so well.
It does.
With the chocolate and the slightly cream dial, I think the composition just beautiful. And if you look at the whole package, even the band itself, that the profile of the band is something quite different compared to other brands as well. So to me, this is my favorite watch at the moment.
Yep.
In my entire collections. And that's something that I will always hold on to and treasure for. So
I love the story behind that. That's really special. Yep. Appreciate you sharing the story behind this acquisition. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
I see we have a Reverso on the...
We do. I think this is the second Reverso that we've introduced to this channel. I brought this piece with me is because that it is an inheritance, a family heirloom that I received from my father-in-law. My father-in-law has passed away last year in a car accident, but this is a piece that he passed down to myself and my wife after we got married. I've never really done a deep dive into this Reverso, but I will probably place it back down to about probably early 1990s. It's a grand telling and it doesn't have any sort of engraving on the back and pretty much left it as it is, untouched, unserviced, and it runs on time with incredible accuracy. When I first received it, the band was very worn out. Probably because that he wore it so much with the sweat of all these years. And so it kind of was really, really broken down and was unusable. So the only thing I replaced it is the band. I kept, obviously, the JLC buckles. I have shown this watch to a lot of enthusiasts and collectors as well. And it is one of my most treasured piece in my collection. This is probably a watch I will wear if I ever put on in a suit, a tuxedo, and things like that. So this is the dress watch I will always go to if I'm wearing something formal. And nowadays, I tend to wear more casual watches, and this is quite formal. Reverso was intended to be a sports watch, I think, because obviously the background story is that people used to wear this when they play polo. And you reverse it to protect the dial. I probably don't do it enough justice by not wearing as much because it's a sports piece, but it's an absolute lovely piece. I would say it's probably trimmed down to, it's very basic. I think Reverso has been one of those classic pieces that will never goes out of date. It's timeless.
Yeah, and very sentimental.
And very sentimental. If I have to pick one, this is the one that would absolutely never sell.
Thanks for the story behind that one. That's lovely. And we have a vintage as our last watch.
Yes, and the last piece is an vintage Omega. This piece also came from my friendship with another fellow collector as well. Why I love this piece so much is that there's a group of us, and we used to go hunting in the vintage markets, all vintage markets in Shanghai, big and smalls, and usually you have to go there really early to find good stuff. This is one of the pieces that he found in a vintage market. It was absolutely trashed at the time. And well, he is actually an artist by profession, but he tinkles with watches as a hobby. So what he did is that he took the watch apart, cleaned it, serviced it himself. He made the watch band as well. So he also makes watch band just as hobby, and he does sell them to friends and basically produce this timepiece that I have right here. It's good as new. I think vintage Omega has always been beautiful timepieces. There's so many out there in the market, and they're very inexpensive, but they are such cool watches. So this is the vintage Seamaster. It sort of feels like a vintage pilot watch that someone would wear during World War II. Just before I moved to Perth, I got this watch off him. He needed to buy some new tools for his watchmaking hobbies and things like that. And I just really liked what he did with this watch and the whole package. And I feel that this is something that we'll remember for our friendship as well. And right now, I believe that he has moved to Thailand, to Bangkok, to work as well. So I'll definitely be wearing this one next time I'm in Bangkok. You know, so there you go. Mm-hmm. My three watch collection all have some kind of sentimental value to myself. These are the pieces that money can buy. And obviously, they will be the last one I will ever put on market for anything. These are the three that I treasure the most. That's for sure.
Really appreciate the stories behind these watches. They're absolutely beautiful.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for that. And I think that a lot of enthusiasts also have their pieces that have sentimental value as well. It's really always interesting to hear the story behind it.
Vince, it has been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show today. The stories behind these watches are truly remarkable.
Likewise, it's an absolute pleasure to be here to talk about them.
And for completing today's challenge, are you interested in a glass of whiskey?
Absolutely, I'd love to have one.
And guys, let us know what's in your three watch collection. And if you enjoyed today's video as much as I did, make sure you check out our other content. Hit that subscribe button so you don't miss out on the next three watch collection.